Hey, y'all, you're listening to the Mother Far From Home podcast with me, your host, Rachel Norman. If you desperately need a common sense, down-to-earth perspective on how to mother well without losing it, living in constant stress, or needing to escape your life, you have come to the right place. Hello, y'all. We are here today to talk about defiance. I mean, it's like, what a joyous topic. You know, grab a nice cup and just, it's going to be fun. Okay. This is actually, okay, I say that jokingly because we hate when our kids display defiance, but I'm hoping by the end of this, you will be able to think of defiance in a different way. Now, I like to put this caveat at the beginning, and everybody probably doesn't need it, but I want to make sure that you're relaxing as I'm talking about this. So I want to, I don't know if comfort you is the right word by saying, but just kind of state that I am always in favor of us having healthy boundaries around our kids' behavior. So when I say we're going to have another way to look at defiance, I'm not saying we're going to say, it's totally fine if our kids scream at our face and say they hate us or whatever, or they say, I'm never going to do that. And it's like, we're going to find a nice way that, you know, to speak to them. No, that's not what this is about. We're going to look at a different way to understand defiance, but not because we're going to say it doesn't matter. Not because we're going to say it's fine if our kids are just defiant, like who cares? They're just going through something. No, that's not what I'm going to share, but I am going to share different perspective changes that help you feel less triggered and help you actually work through it in a way that doesn't make it worse. Okay. So the traditional ways, if you're looking at the slides, you'll see the traditional ways that we would view defiance, like what we're thinking about when we hear the word defiance or whenever our kids have a behavior and we're like, they're defiant. This is like when they're refusing to do what we've asked. If they're sort of digging their heels in, and that's when it's like, do this, no, you know, kind of picking a hill to die on, so to speak. We can call them defiant if we feel like, you know, they're just wanting to cause trouble. Like they're wanting, I put on here, to be a PETA, a pain in the behind. You know, it's like they want it. We get the sense that they're just wanting, or almost like they're relishing, saying no, refusing to do what we want, giving us a look like, oh yeah, you don't want that? I'll do this. You know, we can often think of defiance as like just like lazy. You know, we ask them and then they just lay there. Or they just sit there. Or they just hesitate. Those are some ways that we can feel like are the main things, I guess, you know, when our kids have an attitude, something negative that they're, or just looking at us and refusing. These are the type of behaviors we would call defiance. Now, part of what I'm going to talk about at the end of this slide is a tool that I use and that I've used for many years and that I've taught hundreds and hundreds of moms to use that will help. It's like there's a two-pronged approach, right? There's what we do to help with defiance. And then there's also supporting our kids like the bottom, like the kind of some root issues of whatever's going with them so they don't resort to these type of behaviors. I'm going to tell you more about that at the end. So even in other ways to look at defiance, it's like my child wants to make my life difficult. I hear that from moms sometimes. It's like they want to ruin my life. And so what comes out of us when there's defiance, and this is not just one mom. If you feel like, oh no, you're like, you know, talking about, is she talking about me? Maybe. And everybody else, right? I do not have any one mama in mind. This is just how people work. This is how the cycle works. So it's like, a child acts a certain way to us. And then we're like, oh, well, if she speaks to me like that now, like she's going to be horrible when she's a teenager. If that's how she speaks to her friends, she's not going to have any friends, right? These defiant behaviors can really trigger us for a kid's future because it's like, if this is how they are deep down, they're going to have a horrible life, right? So it's very triggering. Or the next thing I put on my notes here is like, if my son is like this now, when he's a teenager, like what the heck is going to be going on, you know? Or even this, after all I do for her, how dare she treat me like that? So these are the types of thoughts that we have when a kid is displaying a behavior we perceive as defiant. It's like, I've said this before, you know, I've lost my temper and said this before, because it's like, if y'all know what I'll do for you, I did this for you, I do this for you, I do this for you, I do this for you, I ask you to sweep and you're going to fall down like it's some big issue. Get up! You know, it's kind of that just not to say unappreciated, because this is going to go over, that's going to go over, stay tuned for my talk on disrespect. That's separate, but it's just like, after all I do, you're going to look at me in my face, you're going to say that's angle you're going to take. that's Anglican. No, you know, and it's just offensive. We feel offended and we feel insulted. These are the types of emotions we have when we feel like our child is in the defiant thing. So the next thing I want to highlight, I called it the cycle of pain. I don't know why I'm so dramatic. I know I like dramatic. I like drama because that's the third talk drama, you know, written from my own life. No, but I like to make the points dramatic sometimes just because it's easier. I feel like if I make an extreme example and we can draw it back to the middle, it helps. But I call this the cycle of pain, and all joking aside, it's painful when we're in a defiant cycle because we're feeling lots of negative emotions, and so are our kids, right? Something goes down. We ask them to do something. We tell them to do something. They got to do something, whatever it is. They act defiant. Different moms will define defiance differently, but it's a similar set of behaviors, right? Then you dig your heels in because you're like, oh, snap, you didn't, no way, right? We ain't going there. And then because you dig your heels in, I'm not saying it's wrong to dig your heels in, I'm just explaining how the cycle of pain works. They dig their heels in and they're like, okay, well, I guess this is what I'm doing. We're both doing this. We're fighting to the death, right? And then the whole thing goes to pot. Okay. And so it's like there's different places in this cycle. And actually, the tool I'm going to tell you about is completely outside of this cycle. We're going to build our kids up and see things in a different way. Because once we're in this kind of cycle as it's going on, it's hard to get out of it because, as I said, defiant behavior is so triggering to us. It's like, what am I going to do? Quote, let them get away with it? Like, what do I do right now? Because how they're behaving is not okay with me, but I don't know what to do except get more and more, you know? So what we're going to talk about here is kind of new eyes. Now, again, I'm never saying we're not going to have boundaries around how they express. We can have boundaries and we should have them because especially if our kids have shown us they don't have self-control or they're not able to handle or regulate themselves or behave well in certain scenarios, then they expect us to help them do that. And this is a tough thing to say because it's hard for me because I like to say things that make you feel good. I like to hear things that make me feel good. That's how that goes. But when we... Okay, we'll keep going. We'll come to that. So the note I have written down here is you can always have your boundaries for behaviors you're not okay with. You always can. All right. But when we begin to look at this in a different light, it can be less triggering for us and we can do different things that will help us kind of calm down, and bring down the temperature. So one way to view your child beginning to be defiant is that they're in self-defense. So some kids who feel like, for whatever reason, they're being attacked or, you know, whatever, overpowered, made to do something they don't want to do, insert whatever, they can feel like defiance is actually them defending themselves, defending their wants, right? So it's like, no matter what you do, I won't give in, you know? And so this means that whenever we're dealing with whatever our interaction in that moment is, we want to make sure that we're coming across in a way that's not attacking. Now, you might not be, and they might perceive it as that, and that's a separate kind of thing. But when you start to feel like it feels like you're kind of lording over them, going to attack, they're definitely going to go in self-defense. So this is where we would use different strategies or tools to just be more nonchalant, so we're not driving them to self-defend. Now, another thing that's happening in this defiance kind of cycle is they're trying to communicate something that they feel you are refusing to hear or understand. So it's like, no, you didn't hear me the first time. No, no, I'm not. No, because I hate this. Whatever their communication is, it's like sometimes kids will become defiant and really they're not trying to make your life miserable. They're not trying to do anything to you per se. Is they're just feeling misunderstood or feeling in self-defense. And so then they're trying to hold on until you get it. And this can be hard as parents because it's like, and especially sometimes when there's time constraints, it's like, I don't care what all the stuff you got going on is. Get in the car. You know, but how we're viewing them affects how they act. So if they know we're kind of looking on them with this like derision and we're like, you're making my life miserable, like they know that, but it doesn't make them want to be like, okay, well, maybe half the kids, when you act like that, they're like, oh gosh, I should please mom so she doesn't do this. You know, maybe some kids do that. But that's, they don't like it and you don't either. And the other kids are just like, no, I'm not going to just hop to, you're treating, I feel that you're treating me bad. So I'm not going to skip toodly-doo to be obedient, right? So it's kind of like that we're like the kind of an authority over our kids. But in these interactions, the energy we're bringing to them contributes and mixes with the energy they're having. And then all these energies all mix up together and kaboom into a volcano sometimes, right? Another thing that can be happening when kids are defiant is that they're trying to pay you back or make you feel what they feel. So it might be like they again, I'm just saying what they think. I'm not saying they're right. This is a big thing that mama's got to get. When I explain how people work, how kids work, I ain't saying it's okay. I'm not saying any kind of behaviors are okay. It's just, this is how it goes, right? So whenever we can say, well, they do this or they do this, but I'm not saying it's great, okay? But so if you say you got mad and you yelled or did whatever, and that it made them feel ashamed or it made them feel upset or you, who knows what, whatever happened. And so they're mad and they want you to feel bad like they feel. Well, we understand this because when we, our kids don't do something we want, we feel bad and we want them to feel bad too. It's punished. This is essentially what punishment, this is the main difference between punishment and consequences. Consequences are like, okay, there's this action. I've attached it to a rule or, and that's just what's going to happen if you don't do this. Like if you sneak the Nintendo Switch, my friend just gave me this example. If you sneak it, it's gone for a month. That shows me you didn't have the self control, or actually even more than self-control, because it wasn't even out. You sneakily went and got it. This tells me the temptation's far too big for you, and it's a no. So that's like a consequence. Punishment is like, I want you to feel bad or pain or intense fear so you don't do this thing again. And it's just, in the moment, punishment can work, but overall it creates a dynamic that isn't really where you want to go, right? So anyway, sometimes kids, or if they're really mad, or if they're really hurt, they want you to feel that way. You hurt their feelings, they want to hurt you. This is just how life is, right? If somebody's mean to us, we want to be mean back. If somebody's a jerk to us, we're like, oh yeah, pop, I want to be a jerk to you too, right? Well, this happens with adult and kids. So if you feel like your children are trying to pay you back or trying to make you feel bad, it's not because they hate you. It's because they've sort of are out of control in this scenario. And there's a cycle happening where you're probably, you might not be, but typically, usually you're both doing it. It's going around. It's not just you're normal, neutral, and they're trying to pay you back. It's kind of both. You're in a cycle where who knows who started or how it went, but there's some different tools that need to be learned and used so that your kids are not trying to pay you back. They don't feel like you've been trying to hurt them. And of course some kids misinterpret what happened. Of course they do. You know, we're like, well, you just got to go to school. And it's like, you hate me. You're sending me to school or whatever. Well, and then this is just in case there's something going on at school they're really not okay with, right? So it's actually, this is when we learn, right, they were defiant right now, but like, that's not the real issue. The real issue is the real issue. And I know once we go into that, this other behavior can go away. So am I going to let them scream in my face? No, but I'm not going to like do some big, robust punishment so they never scream at me, all the while ignoring the actual real issue, which was going on at school. You see, it's just a multi-pronged approach. It's like, whoa, you're upset. I can see you're upset. You're wanting me to know how badly upset you are. And it's also not going to happen that you scream at me. So let's calm down and work out this thing. You see the difference in energy between, you know, between those. And another reason kids can end up kind of being and displaying this defiant behavior is they're in fight or flight, or they're dysregulated, or they're sort of just freezing up, right? So sometimes some kids do this, some adults even do this. It's like when their nervous system is, you know, it's something that's stressful happen, they're nervous or they're anxious or whatever, they can kind of freeze up. And in, it's like, you kind of think, what's wrong with you? Like, what the heck, Eric? Are you okay? Like, but it's angering. It's almost like they're digging their heels in or they're becoming cement or stone. And you're like, want to shake them and be like, are you listening to me? Which is the exact wrong thing to do if that's what they're experiencing, right? But it's a natural feeling we have because it's like, what is happening? Like, it's a confusing thing. So sometimes kids can, in the moment when things get tense, really display this type of behavior. And it's not about making your life miserable. It might not even be about them not wanting to just basically cooperate in the family rules. It's like something else is going on. And the last thing I have here on my slide is maybe they're spiraling and escalating to be heard. So sometimes kids, when they're sort of spiraling, and by spiraling, it's just like, you know, that feeling when everything feels out of control. You don't know which thing to hang on to. You don't know what to first start doing to get some traction. You're upset, you're anxious, you're mad. You don't know if it might be your fault. You kind of think it's your fault, but you also kind of think it's somebody else's, on and on, right? So kids, because they're little, I mean, I say this a lot, but even in stature, they're little and they look up to us. They literally are waiting for us to fix everything. It's how children are wired. Like, they know they're not the boss. So sometimes these behaviors are not them trying to be the boss over you. It's just there's something else going on. So one of the things that helps is sort of switching the way we're thinking about it. And again, it just, if you're wanting, so for example, if you have kids that are explosive, you know, of course you're wanting them to be able to get their emotions out, but you can absolutely have boundaries around how they do that, right? It's not like, oh, they had a lot of anger out, I should let them hit me. No, you should never let your child hit you. There's a lot of ways for them to get anger out. Imagine a child growing up thinking it's loving to hit the person you love most. Like, you would never pass that on to your kids on purpose. So one thing that you can do is switch from judgments in the moment to neutral observations. This is hard if you're living in trigger town. Like, I get it. But an example of this is, instead of "my child is acting defiant," you can say, or think, usually this is thinking work. You don't even have to say this out loud. "My child's kicking and seems to be defending herself. She must feel really powerless and dysregulated." Okay, this is a bit official. I think I used too clinical of wording here in our brains when we're losing it. But basically, she's kicking. I feel like she's trying to defend herself. She's out of control. That's different than defiant. You see how, it's like, what's in a name? Who really cares about the word? Except when we feel they're being defiant and we register it as defiance, there's really no other option for us but to step in and show them who's boss. Whenever we view it in another way, we can come up with other solutions that probably won't make it worse, right? So it's like, sometimes we just have to get wiser than the kids. Sometimes we just got to get a little more canny than them. So instead of "my child is being extremely rude," it can be "my child is like howling. She can't even calm herself down long enough to talk." Right? So when we judge like they're rude, they're defiant, they're disrespectful, or they're dramatic or whatever, it's like we limit ourselves in our options because we think that's just who their character is and they really got no hope and I basically got to beat this out of them. Like, I'm not saying we all, you know, whatever, but that's kind of the extreme feeling we have. Whereas when we can just describe it in different ways, it doesn't feel like that. Instead of "my child is so stubborn," it's like, "my child's cheeks are red. She is not giving in." Like, something, she is seriously holding on and defending something right here. I need to figure out what's really going on. You know, it gives us a little bit more, we're less defensive. We're defending our authority and position less. So at long last, let's get on a few strategies here. Now that, you know, if you're still sticking around to get to what we can actually do if this happens. So one is to get on your child's side emotionally. Now, I know this is a big ask, like, especially if you feel like your kid has been really kind of, you know, how shall I say, there's been a lot of bad behavior going on and you're kind of like got a bad taste in your mouth about them. You're like, you know, and this can happen, especially when we get in these cycles. But your child knows when you're emotionally sort of separate yourself from them. And this is actually normal. I want to just normalize. Again, we don't like it and neither do the kids. But if there's a pattern of a lot of misbehavior or a lot of drama, a lot of disrespect, that defiance, that these big threes, that the three D's I'm mentioning, we get this sense. It's like, I love you. I'd do anything for you. But like, I don't really like you right now. I don't like what you're doing. Nobody likes these behaviors. I don't like it. And it's almost like we can put like a screen between us and our kids. It's kind of like, I got to protect myself from them. And they can pick up on this. So it's normal, but it doesn't have good effects. And it also makes us feel like we're us against them. And kids absolutely, without a doubt, can sense it's just some kind of energetic something. I can't explain. It sounds woo-woo, but it is just true that your kids, and I can tell you this because my son with ADHD, this would happen with us, especially years ago, because we'd go in a rough patch and then I'd be like, this kid's going to kill me. You know what I'm saying? He's making me look bad. I say that jokingly, but no, I don't care if it makes me look bad. I just care that we were in this kind of cycle. And for him, I didn't read it as defiance. I knew he was digging his heels in. I knew it was something else. And I could think, okay, everything he does is annoying me. And then I think, okay, I'm not on his side emotionally anymore. And then I could literally just remember, I look at pictures of him when he was little, smell his hair. I mean, you know, they're kids. Okay. It's not creepy. Like I'm their mom. Or, you know, just give him a nice cuddle, like just something that like kicks back in that maternal, motherly, like protective, I love you no matter what instinct. And I could just get back over on his side emotionally. And I mean, it has happened so many times that I cannot discount it over the years. There's an instant change in our behavior. And it's almost like if he senses I've pulled away, he reels or spirals. And I think this is just what happened with kids, especially if they're a little bit more exaggerated. Like, okay, you're going to have five kids, four of them, this doesn't happen. Like, we're just this force, like even Kia one. No. So get on their side emotionally. Like, look at baby pictures of them. Like, whatever you have to do to be like, yes, it's me and my child against these behaviors that aren't good for them. It's not me against my child, right? So the next thing is to have no more of the shame, blame type of game. Just have boundaries and keep them, right? So it's almost like we want to heap extra on top when we don't have to. It's like, I told them to do this. They didn't. So here's the consequence if it makes sense. I don't have to heap anything on top. I don't have to add shame. I don't have to add, I told you so. Or I don't have to do that because my kids and your kids 1,000% know what you value and believe and think is good or bad. So it's like the 79th time they, I don't know, hit their brother or whatever. And it's like, we don't hit. Hitting is bad. Like, it's all superfluous. They know hitting is bad. They didn't like it. The only reason they ended up hitting is because they got far to the point they didn't have anything else to do. Like, they couldn't think of anything else to do, but that doesn't mean they actually like it. Because if our kids liked hitting, they would walk around and hit when they're happy, but they don't. It's a final sort of like last resort effort on their part. Is hitting okay? No, that's not my point. But it's not like there's some horrible alien they hit. And it's not like, oh, if they just knew that mommy didn't like hitting. No, they know it. They've lost control at that point, right? So you don't need to heap blame on them. Heaping shame and blame. Whenever we have shame, there's like two types of personalities. Okay, whatever. There's a million types. I do this. I think it's like, you know, introvert, extrovert. It's like, of course, there's many different ways. But in some ways, we all fall into two camps. You know, there's like the camp that takes everything inward. Oh, I'm so bad. I'm so horrible. I feel ashamed. I'm sorry. And I'll try to people please. And then there's a camp that takes it outward. That's like, oh, you're going to make me feel bad. I'm going to make you feel bad. I ain't horrible. You're horrible. So it's like, but either way, the shame doesn't help. Like it actually burdens them and makes it more difficult for them to do the right behaviors. Okay. And the last thing I have on here is to validate your child's emotions so they know that you get it and still keep the boundary, right? There's like this whole slew of parenting people who just think that like focusing completely on emotions is like the way to go. And there's this new book out. Well, anyway, there's lots of books out coming right this time period that are interesting that go into actually, we want to make sure they feel heard. We want to make sure if they have something to say, we say we're not repressing their emotions, but it's like we've actually been giving free rein and letting their emotions rule our entire house in order to try to be healthy. And it hasn't worked like that. So you want to validate. I know you feel bad. You don't like that I'm making you do this. You hate it. You just think you shouldn't have to do it. And it has to happen. So, you know, it's like you can keep your boundary and help them feel understood, right? It doesn't have to be one or the other. So you want to get on your child's side with boundaries, okay? So boundaries basically give your kids skills. I don't know how else to say it. They're very helpful. They give your kids skills to behave in, you know, to be able to handle things, to be able to adapt. So you want to create structure and scaffolding and boundaries so that you don't end up screaming and yelling, right? So this is another strategy. So it's like sometimes we've like phoned it in. We leave them unsupervised for 3 hours and then we come in and they've, you know, done the house and then we're like, clean up. And then they look around the house and it's like a hoarding central and then they're nervous to start and they start crying and then we're like, they're defiant. right? But it's like, well, actually, this is overwhelming. And actually, I phoned it in for 3 hours. And then what did I think they were going to do? So it's like when we create more of a structure or scaffolding, we keep the responsibility for, you know, supervising or whatever on ourselves. It doesn't get as far. And when it doesn't get as far, we don't get as upset, right? When we don't let it, we intervene early. So another thing is to validate your child's emotions, right? And I said this, I guess this was part of a similar point that I made before, but we want them to know we get them. Kids love it when they feel understood. It's like, I get you. It isn't even that you hit your brother because it isn't that you don't love him. You love him. It isn't that you wanted to be mean. It doesn't feel good to be mean. You just got so mad. He wasn't budging. And you just didn't know what else to do. And you knew hitting would work and you did it. But I know you'd rather have a different way. And like, of course they would, right? Another strategy I have is to intervene early. This is just pretty much a very good strategy. And I don't mean intervene in anything they're doing because they have any problem, right? We don't need to rescue them from a few emotions here or there. But if things are, it's kind of like, instead of being like, unload the dishwasher 15 times. And then we're like, unload it. You ungrateful, defiant, disrespectful child. It's like maybe the second time they didn't listen, you kind of use your presence as a physical boundary. We're going to walk over there right now. And now's when we're going to do it. You know, you don't let it get to where you're already so ticked off, you know? And then the last strategy, and this is one of the strategies I talked about that's sort of like an outside of the moment strategy, but that can help your child work through whatever they've got going on. So a lot of kids will have issues going on that they're kind of nursing. They can't put them into words, so to speak. And that is to give your child a place to work out what's going on with them, process what they're happening, act out their struggles, and build connection with you at the same time. And so that is what I'm going to talk about later here, I guess, in a few weeks. But it is my secret weapon, which is the tool that I have used for years and I teach moms about to break behavior patterns, stop power battles, to calm everything down. And it is my 30-minute, one-time-a-week playtime strategy that moms can use with their kids. And so I will give you more info about that later. But that is something that I've used. I use it right now. It's on a friend's daughter. Hundreds of moms, I've taught them how to use many more than that all over the world. And what it does is it creates a place where that you're building connection. You're allowing your child to kind of express and act out. And you're beginning to see some patterns. You're practicing some of the new skills that you're using, the calm work down skills. You know, I'm going to teach you how to actually figure out what the heck's going on with your kid, because it's usually not what you think it is, right? Gonna figure out tools to help you get more nonchalant, to be able to work out some of the patterns they're having. And I will talk more about that later. But as to close us on this defiance topic, remember, if you can experience or describe what the behaviors that they're doing in a way other than labeling it as defiance, then you're going to have more ideas. You're going to be calmer. And when you're calmer, you're going to have an energy about you that can put them more at ease. And this can help de-escalate what's going on. So you can make boundaries around the way they're allowed to speak with you. And then at the same time, it's kind of like digging deeper. What's really going on here? And going in that direction. So I hope this was helpful to you and you had some nuggets of wisdom. And be sure to check out my next one, which is going to be next month, or if they're already available, you'll just be able to scroll through and find it on disrespect. And then the next one is going to be on drama. As always, thanks so much for listening to this podcast. You can find me on my website, A Mother Far From Home, and on YouTube under the same name. If you like this podcast, I'd love it if you could write a 5-star review, and it'll help all the algorithms to get it in front of other moms who'd benefit from this encouragement. Until next time, keep it real out there, mama.